Let's read Romans 8, 28 through 30 and pray. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Father, I thank you for the time we've spent in these three verses. Such important verses. And it's not that any verse in your Bible is not important. It's just that these are a mountain peak in your scriptures. Glorious heights that we have been able to climb up on and look out over your glorious sovereign grace. We thank you for how gracious you've been to us from eternity past. Thank you for the assurance that you've given us in showing us what you have intended for us from and through all eternity. Be glorified in your truth today. Carry us through this week with the truth you give us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is going to be our next to the last message in our series, Unbreakable. Our assurance of salvation in the golden chain of God's sovereign grace. There will be one more message, but it will not be on Romans 8, 28 through 30. It will be on Romans 8, 31 through 39, entitled, What Then? So there's one more message following this one, but this will be the last one on the golden chain itself as we come to the end of verse 30. I want to make a statement and you respond to it in your mind. What is your response to the following statement? The effect of Christ's resurrection and the end of Christ's redemptive work is the glorification of fallen man. I'll say it again. The effect of Christ's resurrection and the end of Christ's redemptive work is the glorification of fallen man. Now, if you are jealous for the glory of God, as you should be, as I am, that statement should give you pause, especially in the awareness of so much man-exalting, God-diminishing doctrine that is so prevalent in this nation and around the world today. Such doctrine makes much of man rather than God, turning the gospel into a therapeutic boost of self-esteem. Such teaching being popularly published and preached, even this very day, proclaims how wonderful it is that God finds us so lovable rather than the wonder that God loves us when we are not lovable. The teachers, tickling people's ears with that froth, completely ignore what we have already seen in Scripture about fallen man's anti-God depravity, as God sees them, and yet loves them anyway. That's what they miss in their message of self-esteem, making the message of God's love a message for us to esteem ourselves, to realize our self-worth. What they miss in that unbiblical equation is that what makes God's love so amazing is that we are, in our anti-God, ungodly depravity, so unlovable. They don't get on God's side to see across the chasm between our sin and Him. They want to stand on our side and try to take hold of the message of God's love and God's gospel and God's saving grace and turn it into something to say, see how wonderful to Him we must be. And the clear message of Scripture throughout is that what is so wonderful about God's grace, what is so wonderful about God's love, what is so wonderful about His mercy is that He gives it to us not because of what we deserve, but directly in spite of what we deserve. Where He has every right to condemn us, He has instead redeemed us. That's why we have a hymn like Amazing Grace. Realizing as we should that when we contemplate the love of God, when we contemplate the grace of God, when we contemplate the mercy of God, we are contemplating all that. For like John Newton says, a wretch like me. That's what these false teachers miss, as they ignore the Scriptures and preach their own man-centered philosophy. Those teachers raise people into a high view of themselves, which stirs their emotions for a God that gushes with sentiment for them, while not taking their sin seriously. Fallen man is magnified, and the true God is marginalized. So, when I make the statement that the effect of Christ's resurrection and the end of Christ's redemptive work is the glorification of fallen man, you should expect a very careful, biblical, Christ-centered, Christ-exalting explanation of that statement. And I aim to give that to you in this message because the statement is true. The statement is true. As we think about Christ's redemption and resurrection, specifically what they mean for us, what the implications of His redemptive work and His resurrection from the dead mean for us Christians, we must think higher than we naturally think. We must let the Scriptures, God in the Scriptures, raise us above our natural plane of thought. Remember, like He said it through the prophet Isaiah, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. There is a low plane we tend to get stuck on, even in contemplating the glorious truth of Christ's resurrection and redemptive work. So in looking at these, we need to think higher than just being saved from hell and going to heaven. We need to think higher than that. We need to think higher than just being alive forever. But as it is written, things no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human heart has conceived, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. You see, Paul says, even to Christians, our eyes have not seen, our ears have not heard, our hearts have not conceived all that God has prepared for us, but He has revealed it by His Spirit. If we will just look and see it. So that's the call. Look and see. Think higher than our natural thoughts. There are things God is going to do with us that defy imagination. There are things God has planned for us we cannot comprehend, we cannot conceive of. But He has given us a glimpse of them in His Word. He has given us a glimpse. We can't have it all. We don't have the whole picture. We could not handle the whole picture if He gave it to us. But He has given us what we can know, and therefore what we must know. He has given us a glimpse. And we are going to get a glimpse of the glimpse as we come to the fifth and final unbreakable link in the golden chain of God's sovereign saving grace. That link is this, that God has glorified us. We will look at what it means that God has glorified and who exactly God has glorified. So, what it means that God has glorified, that's where we start. Look at it again at the end of verse 30. These whom he justified, he also glorified. We need to know what exactly he means by that if we are going to make sure to hold to a God exalting view of Scripture, God exalting view of the gospel, God exalting doctrine, Christ exalting doctrine. Well, first, from God's perspective, we are as good as finished while we are not finished yet. We are as good as finished while not finished yet. I want you to notice, what tense does Paul speak in or write in all through these three verses? Past tense. Well, when we come to the end of verse 30, that's not in past tense, that's a future event. So how can he speak of it in the past tense? Well, because he's making something very plain. From God's perspective, we are finished, even while we're not finished yet. From God's perspective, this is finished. This is done. We are done. We are glorified. In his mind, in his plan. Paul told the Philippians, I am confident of this very thing, that he, speaking of God, who began a good work in you, will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:6. Who began the good work? God began the good work. Who is going to continue the good work? God will continue the good work. And who will finish that good work? God will finish that good work. That's Paul's point. Well, in Romans 8:30, Paul shows us that God sees his good work as already perfected, as already finished. Think about this. God sees you right now, if you are in Christ, not as you are, but as you will be. He sees it as clearly as you and I see each other right now. If you've been born again by the Spirit of God in response to the gospel of God, having surrendered your life to Christ and asked his forgiveness for your sins and trusted in him for your salvation, then you have been foreknown, you have been predestined, you have been called, you have been justified, and you are right now glorified in the mind of God. He sees you as if you are already there. We are a work in progress. But our progress to perfection is so certain that God sees us already perfected. As clear as day. As he sovereignly holds our glorious future, our future is set so that we can speak of God having already brought it to pass. So first, the first thing that being glorified means is that God sees us as already being finished, even while we are not finished yet. Second, God has glorified us in and with his Son. Now, I'm going to share some scriptures that reveal, that shed more light on this truth. God has glorified us in and with his Son. God has glorified us in and with his Son's glory, his Son's own glory. Listen to Jesus in John 17, 22 through 24. The glory, listen for glory, the glory which you have given me, this is Jesus praying to the Father, for us, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. You hear that? The glory you, Father, have given to me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. When he says, so that they may see your glory, my glory, he's not just saying, see it from a distance. He means, see it as experiencing it. He is praying for us, for our salvation, for our endurance, for our unity, and in praying that, he says to the Father, I've given them the glory you've given me, that they may see, experience my own glory. Building on that, we can go to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Where Paul told the Thessalonians, we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through being set apart by the Spirit, in other words, out of the world, that salvation, and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel. Listen, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. What an incredible thought. Paul, speaking to Timothy about why he pressed on the way he did in his apostolic ministry. Why was Paul so dead set against everything set against him to complete his mission as an apostle of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, here's his answer. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 10 through 12. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who were chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. I hope you see it. God has glorified us in and with his own Son's own glory. God has glorified us in and with his Son's resurrection. Philippians chapter 3. Excuse me. Verses 20 through 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. Here Paul is crossing the line from spiritual to physical resurrection. The full scope of resurrection power that God will unleash for us at the end of all things, at the return of Christ. He will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of his power that he has to bring all things in subjection to himself. And he will bring everything in subjection to himself, including death, which he's already done for himself. One day will do for all of us in real time and space. So that takes us to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the famous resurrection chapter. Verses 19 through 23, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also all in Christ will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, he's already gone ahead. After that, those who are Christ's at his coming. So that's talking about the coming resurrection day, when all of this that we are looking at will fully come to pass. 1 Corinthians 15, 42 through 49. What will the resurrection of the dead be like? Here's Paul's answer. The body is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, talking about being buried in the ground. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Hear that word again? It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam, speaking of Christ, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Here's the critical summation of that. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Isn't that wonderful news? As we have borne the image of the earthy, a great shift is going to take place on the resurrection day, and God will glorify us in and with His Son's own resurrection, so that we will fully, even physically, bear His image. God has glorified us in and with His Son's nature. 2 Peter, chapter 1, 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises. Listen to this. So that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. So that by the great promises of God, by the great truth of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, somehow He is going to make us share in His divine nature in Christ. Now I cannot give you a full breakdown, a full explanation of what that's going to look like. I do not know, but that's what the Scripture says. Somehow, even while being human, He is going to make us partake, share in Jesus' divine nature. 1 John 3. 1 and 2, John caps it off for us. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. Going back to again. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, our minds haven't imagined what we are going to be. John says it hasn't yet appeared what we will be. God has not yet fully revealed it. But we know that when Jesus appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. You know, right now, there's a bit of a veil between us and Jesus, between us and God the Father. One day at Jesus' return, that veil between the two dimensions, God is going to completely remove. So that in Revelation 22, it says, we will even see the face of God. And it will be so bright and so magnificent that we will not even need the sun or the moon to see anymore. There will be no more darkness because the light of God himself will light up his entire creation. So he is going to fully reveal himself in all his glory. And here's what John says. We need to think about that in realizing this. When we see him as he truly and fully is, we will somehow be like him. Now there are mysteries there, the depths of which we cannot get to the bottom of. There are heights there we cannot reach the top of. There are breadths there we cannot reach the limits of. But this is the truth of Scripture. It's not explaining how. It's not explaining exactly what it's going to be like, but it's telling us the reality that we are looking forward to. We're not just called children of God. We are children of God by adoption. And somehow, he is going to glorify us in and with his Son's divine nature. It's an incredible thing to contemplate. So who is looking forward to this? Who exactly has God glorified? Well, we see it right there in verse 30, don't we? These whom he justified. This hope is only for these whom he justified. These for whom he has removed the guilt of sin. These whom he has made perfectly righteous with the perfect righteousness of his Son. These whom he has made perfectly right with himself as his own Son is right with him. That's the stress of justification. That whereas we were guilty of breaking his law, we are guilty no more. Whereas we were unrighteous, we are made fully righteous, not with our own righteousness, but with the righteousness of Christ by faith as a gift of his grace. And in doing that, he makes us fully right with himself so that he stands us before himself as if his own Son is standing before him. That's the truth of justification by faith alone. And so these who that is true for are these whom he also glorified. If we are among these whom he justified, then we are among these whom he also glorified. How do we know? How do we know? Is there evidence for it? Is there something beyond subjective impression that we can look for to know? Is this true for me? Am I one of these? Well, we know by what our lives show. That's what the Scriptures tell us. Every time we look in Scripture for the assurance of salvation, what does it answer us with? The fruit of salvation. That's what it tells us over and over again. Look for the fruit of salvation. That's how you know if you're saved. Do you have the fruits of salvation? The fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of a God-centered, God-seeking life. The fruit of an obedient life. We know by our sanctification from the inside out. Notice that there is not a link of sanctification in the golden chain. Why? Why does he not say, these he justified, he also sanctified. These he sanctified, he also glorified. Why does he leave out sanctification? Well, the answer is the link of justification unbreakably links to the link of glorification in our sanctification. That's what Paul is expecting to be understood here. And our sanctification starts with our justification and it's finished with our glorification. It covers everything from the beginning of our new life in Christ to the fulfillment of everything in Christ. Justified to glorified, linking them together, locking them together, is our sanctification. That's how we know this is true for us. So we can know that we are justified and glorified if we can see and testify to the reality that we are right now being sanctified. That we are growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we are progressively loving God with more of our hearts, more of our souls, more of our minds, more of our strength. And more loving our neighbors as ourselves. And I'm sure you picked up on immediately, I'm referring to the two greatest commandments that Jesus says God has given us. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what is sanctification all about? Sanctification is all about going from not doing that at all to perfectly doing that in reality one day when we are glorified. What happens in between? What happens in between is that we are steadily growing in doing both of those. And if we can look at that reality, if we can see that process, if we can see that progress of sanctification in obeying the two greatest commandments God has given us, then we can know I have been justified and I have been glorified. The obedient Christian is the justified and glorified child of God. Here's what all of this comes down to as we come to the end of the golden chain. What God predestined in his infinite mind in eternity past, he is providentially going to make sure comes to pass in his infinite mercy and might in eternity future. That's the whole point of the chain, from the first link to the last. As we come to the last link, that's the purpose of the last link, is to show us that everything God set out to do from eternity past, he makes sure is done in eternity future. That we become conformed to the image of his son so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren, going back to Romans 8:28-29, where Paul says that's what he predestined us for. Why have you been saved? You have been saved, if you are saved, to be conformed to the image of God's Son. And when Paul says, so these whom he justified, he glorified, he is saying that's the period on the sentence. That's the end of the whole matter. At that point, we will be fully conformed to the image of his Son, all God predestined us for from eternity past. That's the summation of our glorification. So, we go back to thinking about Christ's redemption, Christ's resurrection. Because of them, God will raise us from our fallenness. That's how we understand this. He will raise us from our fallenness. He will glorify us into our final, eternal, exalted state in being fully conformed to Jesus in and with his glory, in and with his resurrection, in and with his own nature. So think higher as you walk out of here today on this Resurrection Sunday. Think higher. Don't just think about being alive forever. Think about living the highest life possible forever. Don't just think about mere existence, but think about transcendent existence, from earthly existence to heavenly existence, from earthly fallenness to heavenly glorification. Well, we will never be divine, as some of those cults that I referenced earlier say. While we will never be equal to Jesus in his deity, we will never be God. But God will glorify us into a state of being spiritually and physically beyond imagination. So the golden chain of our salvation is complete in God's sovereign grace. What can you carry out of here today to apply what you have understood from the scriptures? Well, I take you to Colossians, and this is where I'll close. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Here's what you need to grab hold of right now if you are in Christ, and carry out of here this morning for the week to come. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. You've got to set your mind on heavenly things, not earthly things. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed at his second coming, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what we look forward to. We know that for you, it's finished. From your perspective, we are glorified. And so we look forward now to what is finished for you. We look forward to our glorification. We look forward to that day when we will leave our fallenness behind. When there will be no more sin, no more death, no more crying, no more mourning, no more pain, no more sickness, no more illness, no more Alzheimer's, no more cancer. Best of all, Father, no more sin against you. Nothing but perfect, obedient bliss in your presence forevermore, in Christ and being like Christ. Help us all carry this out of here, not just in theory, but in practice, as you help us raise our gaze, looking at the heavenly things, not focusing on the earthly things, realizing where our life really is, as we wait for Jesus to bring our true life to us at his return, when we will see him and be with him in his glory. Be glorified in this truth. Glorify your own Son in this truth. And through us, lead many others to him. In his name we pray. Amen.